This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This list here.
And some of you are texting in about the Tiger King. While I was on mute, I promised that we would read some of those texts, so I will re-promise that. As I was removing this topic from the rundown, Seth, yesterday, you know, we go back through and we kind of clean things out and set up the show for the next day. I just started looking at this list again, and a question popped into my head, and I was curious your thoughts on it, because you played with some of the guys that are on this list, and certainly, like, you know, you've watched all of them, every down of all of these guys. I saw this thing where they're doing a Madden tournament of some sort, where I think they're taking all of the all-time greatest players from each team, putting Madden teams together and simulating some kind of tournament. And they put odds out on it. And the Cowboys are the favorite because, theoretically, I guess they've had the most great players in the Madden era of all time that you could put on there. The Texans were the very last team on the odds board. When you look at it and you see at the bottom, you're like, oh, that feels like they're kind of picking on the Texans. They're not the worst team ever, but they are the team with the least amount of time ever. They're the newest team in the league. So it would stand to reason that the Texans have had the fewest great players, so they wouldn't stand up that great in a simulation for something like that. And that's what drew me back to this list here. And if you're wondering what list I'm talking about, Pro Football Focus took a poll of several hundred Texan fans. Who are your top five all-time best Texans? And the top five, I don't think, is a big shocker. And these were the top five easily by a landslide, were in order: Andre Johnson, J.J. Watt, DeAndre Hopkins, Arian Foster, and Deshaun Watson. My question, Seth, is I started looking, I go, okay, how many guys have the Texans had in their history that you can make an argument that they're the top five, that they're among the top five in the history of the franchise? Like, how far down the list do you go before you go, okay, well, stop arguing this guy. This guy's got no chance. And I thought maybe you and I could rapid fire some of these other names, and you tell me, can you put a top five argument all-time Texan together for these guys? So,
okay.
So Brian Cushing was sixth on the list.
It's hard because I feel like the top five are the top five. I don't know if you'll find anybody that I think should be Cushing. If he had stayed healthy, then I think he certainly would have been. I think he's one of the top five, perhaps in terms of popularity. If you put him ahead of, did Dwayne Brown make that Pro Football Focus top five? Everything
he didn't. No. Here.
Okay.
No, he was, yeah, he was seventh. We'll get to Dwayne next.
Okay. All right. Could you make a credible argument based on the fact that he was Rookie of the Year, if you choose to ignore all the other stuff that went along with that? I think it's going to be hard to, boy. Yeah. Okay. Because Deshaun Watson's number five on that list, and I don't think he's been here long enough to earn that yet. Yep. No, I wouldn't put Brown. I think Brian Cushing is firmly in the top eight.
Okay. I had Dwayne Brown, who's seventh on this list. I had Dwayne fifth on my list, in part because of what you were talking about just now. Like, Deshaun might be the best player out of all of these guys when it's all said and done, including J.J. Watt. You know, he might be the best player. We all hope that he's the best player in Texans history, because that means they'll have accomplished big things. And just from a pure talent standpoint, he might be the best player. But he started 37 games. A list with this type of context, Seth, to me, longevity matters, and the body of work and the size of the body of work matters. And that's why I had Dwayne in my top five.
Okay. Yeah. So, and I would put Dwayne on my top five. So yeah, I definitely think there's a, no, actually Dwayne was my six. But there's an obvious art. I had Jonathan Joseph as my fifth, and a lot of that was based almost more on scheme and everything and what he meant to the franchise and that defense compared to how much Dwayne meant to the offense. They're both really, really good players. And I might make Dwayne the better overall NFL player, but for in terms of what he meant to the Texans and how long he played for the Texans, Jonathan Joseph.
It's all-time great Texans. So I think it's safe to say, like, you can at least cobble an argument together for the top eight guys on this list. The list drops off pretty precipitously after that, from Jonathan Joseph with 16% of the vote down to D'Amico Ryans with 6% of the vote. Seth, I almost feel like the argument for D'Amico in the top five is identical to Brian Cushing's argument for the top five, where D'Amico as a rookie was the defensive rookie of the year. He was great. You were on the team in 2006, so you got to watch it up close. He continued to be a great player and a great leader, just like Brian Cushing. Hell, for 2 years alongside Brian Cushing, 2 or 3 years. And then D'Amico tore the Achilles tendon in 2010. Wade Phillips came in the next year. D'Amico was not a great fit in a 3-4. Cushing got moved to inside linebacker, so it kind of displaced D'Amico a little bit. D'Amico's a guy where if he didn't suffer that injury in 2010, that shredded Achilles, I think he would be in the top five.
No, I think for sure. And if he'd been able to play longer here, I mean, they loved him in Philadelphia and he, you know, wasn't even at the peak of his powers there. He's just that kind of guy. It's hard for me with D'Amico because I know what he was like as a teammate and just kind of how he was, how he went about his business, that I probably want to rank him higher than maybe it should be worth ranking him. But I can't put him in the top five. He just wasn't, he wasn't right up in that atmosphere as some of those guys.
Matt Schaub is next on the list. And so now we're to the part of the list where we're identifying guys who this is why they're not, you know, the sort of thing like this is why they're not in the top five. I wonder if Schaub had just hung it up after 2012, if he would be in the top five right now.
Yeah, I think that's
made the Pro Bowl a few times.
If he had just stayed healthy. If he had stayed healthy, if he had never broken his foot that 1 year, he would have been in that playoff run in 2011 and been a part of all of that. And I think that the story would have been different about him. He would have been the quarterback that first brought legitimacy to the Texans. I think there were a lot of people that had, you know, obviously very valid concerns about him, even when things were good and how much of his stats were just compiling stats in non-critical situations. But I don't know. Would they put him in top five? I don't think so. I think he would be. I think they'd look at him as a product of Kubiak and Andre Johnson and Arian Foster more so than anything else.
Text message. Seth and I just got done talking about the Tiger King in the previous segment. Text message. Valid point. Why is it that the two most normal people on Tiger King account for two legs and three arms?
Oh, yeah.
That is true. The two nicest people on the Tiger King were both amputees.
Yeah, the woman that went back to work 10 days after losing her arm to show the world that, no, Joe Exotic is okay. Like, that is a loyal, like, kind-hearted person. There are a few people surrounding Joe Exotic that I particularly felt bad for, including his campaign manager, the guy from Walmart. He was like the firearms manager at Walmart that became his campaign manager, where he actually got a substantial number of votes in the Oklahoma election. He was in third place with not an insignificant number of votes.
Yeah. By the way, Seth, you buried the lead. She lost her arm because it was gnawed off by a wild tiger, by a tiger as she was trying to feed it.
right. And that's why she had to come back so quickly, is that she wanted to show that, no, the animals are fine. It's not a big deal. I'm back. I love Joe Exotic, all that. Like, that's a level of loyalty that I feel like she seems like the kind of person that would be that loyal to anybody that she was working for that they cared about. Like, she would do anything.
Yeah. We're getting a lot of texts from people saying, no, Carol Baskin does charge to visit Big Cat Rescue. People saying tickets start at like $200. She definitely makes a profit off of those cats.
But there's a difference. Okay, first of all, no, do people understand that nonprofits take in revenue? Like, that's not true. Because she charges doesn't mean they do have to spend like $8,000 a year feeding those cats. So that's not proof that it's a nonprofit just because she charges. Yeah. Zoos are nonprofit, like normal zoos are nonprofits, so they charge. But now, do I think that she's like a person who's on the up and up? Of course, no, I don't. Right, it wouldn't surprise me at all if that nonprofit was being run shoddily.
the one question I always remember from business class back in, might have been high school, where it was like an economics class. The one question I remember the answer to about nonprofits: what is the goal of a nonprofit? To make a profit. That's the goal of a nonprofit.
To give that profit away, right? That's the
The goal is to make a profit so that they can use it to do the things that the nonprofit does. But I'm backing up your point, which is no, these nonprofits still need to charge money and generate revenue. They have to do that. Someone's saying Carol's husband looks exactly like Warren Jeffries.
That's what it Warren is. Jeffries. Yeah, that's what he's almost like he's a blend of a whole bunch of different people. But yeah. Warren Jeffries. I'm thinking of somebody else. I don't know who the hell that is.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.